Okay, Chevra, Shalom Aleichem. This is like a very strange time. Obviously, I don't think anyone remembers anything like this. My guess is that all of you are in your various homes and you're trying to cope with what is unprecedented. It's a massive challenge. This isolation that we have, the coronavirus, is really hitting very hard, and it's hitting very close to home. I think many of us know people who have been affected. What I would like to do is just, before we begin the shiur, just to use an opportunity, a few minutes that we have, to daven together to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that things that people should be okay, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect us. It's really a very difficult situation. One thing I've noticed is that the isolation on some level has actually created a situation where we are redefining community, and we could see who we are connected with by not just because of proximity, but we're connected with ideologically, hashgafically, based on a much more Klal Yisrael sort of way. So that is something which I think is a very positive outcome of this really difficult situation. I want to just say with you together, Tehillim Perek Chaf, it's something that we all know from davening. Lamnatzeach mizmor leDavid, Yancha Adonai biyom tzara, Yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov. Yishlach Ezrecha mikodesh umitzion yisadeka. Yizkar kol minchosecha v'olasecha yedash neselam. Yiten lecha chiluf avecha v'chol atzasecha yimalei. Niranana bishuasecha v'shem Eloheinu nidgal. Yimale Adonai komishal osecha. Ata yodati ki oshia Adonai mishicha ya'aneu mishimei kodsha b'gbros yesha yimino. Eilev orechev ve'eilev asusim. Va'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir. Heima karu v'nafalu, va'anachnu kamnu v'nis odad. Adonai hoshi'a, ha'melech ya'aneinu v'yom kareinu. Rav Shechter paskind that if we're able to, when we daven, we should add in a few lines from the regular Avinu Malkeinu that we say. One thing I noted to the shiur that I just finished giving to my students in Stern is that the opportunity that we have because of this social distancing, because we're away from others, is an opportunity also, or the challenge that we have is an opportunity to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different sort of way, to daven at our own pace, to daven with our voices raised, to sing, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But let's just, again, before we start learning together, just to recite four stanzas in Avinu Malkeinu, and then we will begin the Talmud Torah. Avinu Malkeinu, batel me'oleinu, kol gezeiros kashos. Avinu Malkeinu, Kalei Dever v'cherev v'ra'av u'sheviu mashkis mi'b'nei v'risecham. Avinu Malkeinu, mina ma'geifa minachal osecham. Avinu Malkeinu, shelach refua sheleima l'chaylei amecham. though we are facing this challenge of coronavirus in a way that no one has any idea what to do, and I wanted to focus with you on a halachic aspect of it, which I think is not really discussed as much as it should be. I hope you can see I just shared with you a source sheet. I hope you can see it. But there is a discussion in Poskim about the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And does one have an obligation of Bikur Cholim when the chola, the person who one intends on visiting, is actually suffering from a contagious disease? Is there Bikur Cholim in that situation or not? Now, Bikur Cholim is actually a very important mitzvah in the realm of Chesed, because it's the only two mitzvahs of Chesed that the Torah speaks about beferish with Avraham Avinu, is the mitzvah of Hachnosas Arachim and Bikur Cholim. Vayira Elov Hashem Beiloni Mamre, Rashi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, Bevakar Sachola. Bikur Cholim is very important, and the question is, do I have a mitzvah Bikur Cholim when the person who I'm going to visit is contagious? That's a question. Now, it happens that Baruch Hashem, I think the level of contagion with coronavirus is lower than the level of contagion with some other diseases. Coronavirus is not transmitted through the air. You have to be in contact with some fluids, etc., from a person, and you need direct contact with the hands. But nonetheless, the question, I think, is worth looking at. So the first source that we have over here is a tshuva of the Ramah in Simin Chaf. The Ramah is discussing a case of someone who rents a house to somebody else, and then the person, the tenant's wife, has a contagious disease. And the question is, does that halachically invalidate the schiros? Is it considered, just like we have a halacha of mekach tos, we have a halacha that the a transaction, a sale, that was done under mistaken pretenses is not binding. So that same halacha would apply by schiros, apply by rentals as well. And the Ramah is asking whether the relative of the socher who is contagious, does that invalidate the entire schiros? So comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, you know what, this particular disease, I underlined this part for you, Misha Omer Shu Chola Misdabek Kulo Hevel. You're saying that this disease is contagious, it's wrong. Umishili Bonokvo Omer Kain. And only people who are hesitant, they say these types of things. Functionally, the Rabbona Shel Olam, Hashem Yisala Hu Amochet Harofe, Vim Haya Kedivrei Hamaskil Batel Kol Dine Bikur Cholim, Kilomatzinu B'Shum Makom Shecholku Bein Choli Mistabek M'lisha Eino Mistabek Chutz Mila Inyan Baraza and the Asru Leishev Betzilo. Says the Ramah, nowhere in Shulchan Aruch, nowhere in Shas, nowhere anywhere do we see a distinction based on the type of illness that you have. The mitzvah Bikur Cholim applies to all illnesses. And even if the disease were to be contagious, the Ramah himself thinks that this disease is not contagious, but even were the disease to be contagious, says the Ramah, there's a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim on a contagious disease. Because if there wouldn't be, we would eradicate the entire mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Bate v'im haya kedivei hamaskir, bate al kol dine Bikur Cholim. You're going to get rid of all Bikur Cholim. Meaning the Ramah is saying that you have to be mevaker chola, even though you yourself could get sick. Now, this Ramah, this Tshuvas HaRamah, is very difficult. And the later poskim, they all question the Ramah based on a discussion that's well known in poskim, that I'm not supposed to put myself into a suffek sakana, even to save you from a vadai sakana. Now, this is like a question. Am I allowed to put myself in a potentially dangerous situation to save you from something that is definitely dangerous to you? Right? Mashal mahadavar doma. You know, the early poskim discussed, today there's this organization Renewal. It's mamish amazing what they do. And people donate kidneys, and all the poskim say that today it's permitted, and maybe there's a mitzvah to donate a kidney to someone. The early tshuvas about kidney donation said that it's usur. You're not allowed to. And the poskim said, why am I not allowed to donate a kidney? The reason why those early poskim said, the same posek, the Tzitz Eliezer, as an early tshuva, says it's usur to donate a kidney. Later on he says that there's a mitzvah to do so. What changed was not the halacha. What changed is the mitzias. You're not allowed to put yourself into a suffix sakana. You can't put yourself into a potentially dangerous situation to save somebody from a vade sakana. So if I donate a kidney, is there a suffix sakana? Again, these things are very hard to define, no? What is considered suffix sakana? What level of danger does it have to be to be considered, what level of danger does there have to be considered potentially dangerous? Not at all simple, no? Very unclear. But the poskim assume that certain things are definitely not dangerous at all. I'm allowed to drive a car, correct? It's dangerous. You could be in a car accident. How come the poskim say you're allowed to drive a car? The answer is, well, that's not dangerous enough. We don't have, most poskim assume we don't go by absolute numbers. Some poskim use an expression of echa mini elef, that one in a thousand is not considered dangerous at all. You know, someone called me to ask me whether coronavirus is halachically dangerous. The latest numbers that they're giving are saying that around 1% of people who have the coronavirus could be fatal, chas v'shalom. 1% is 1 out of 100, correct? 1 out of 100 is 1 out of 100 is going to be much more than 1 out of 1,000. Post can say 1 out of 1,000 is not dangerous. 1 out of 100 certainly is considered dangerous. So the issue that we're dealing with is what is considered a suffix sakana, what is not a suffix sakana. And the poskim, I think, say that, you know what? The poskim say, listen, if people consider it dangerous, then it's a sakana. People don't consider it dangerous, it's not a sakana. So giving a kidney in the earlier days was not dangerous. Excuse me, giving a kidney in the earlier years was considered dangerous. So therefore, you should not enter a suffix sakana to save somebody from a vadei sakana. But today, giving a kidney is not dangerous, so therefore there's a mitzvah to do so. That's what poskim said. So now let's talk about, though, our case. Our case of bikur cholem for someone with a contagious disease. Is it dangerous for you to go be mevaker chola? Is it dangerous for you to be in close quarters in close contact with someone who has the coronavirus? I think most people would consider it to be some sort of sakana. And therefore, one could maybe argue that although the Ramah says that you're mechuyev to do bikur cholim with a contagious disease, maybe there is no obligation, or maybe it's even usur in this case, because who says I'm allowed to put myself into a suffix sakana to save someone from a vadei sakana? So let's take a look at the next source, the Sma. The Sma, by the way, is the first commentary on Shulchan Aruch. The Sma, the earliest commentary. The Sma is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, and the Sma, it's mamish, the very end of Choshen Mishpat, discussing the halacha of Lo Samar O Damrei Echa. So the Sma quotes that the Beis Yosef quotes from a Hagos Maimini in the name of the Yerushalmi. Now, this Hagos Maimini does not exist in our standard editions of Hagos Maimini. It's hard to know exactly which Yerushalmi it is. But Hagos Maimini says, "Ditzarech afilu lahachnis atzma besafek sakana avor zeh." Let's say there's somebody who is in a vaday sakana. You have somebody who, Rachman Litzlan, is drowning. Vaday sakana, the person is drowning. Are you allowed to jump into the water to save the person? Are you mechuyev to jump into the water to save the person? Now, everybody knows that if you jump into the water to save a person, right, they could pull you under. Right? You're trying to help them, but they could pull you in. And that's, you're entering a suffix sakana when you do that, no? You're trying to save somebody, maybe you could get really hurt by it. So the Sma quotes that the Hagos Maimini says that you're mechoyev, ditzarech lahachnis atmo besafek sakana, right? In order to save somebody, even though you might be pulled into the water, there's someone who's drowning, someone's in a safek sakana, you are obligated to jump in to try to save them. And the Beis Yosef quotes it, let's continue the Sma, and he writes, v'nirash atamu mipnei shahalov vadai v'hu safek. The Sma says that the reason for this is because that person is a vadai. The guy who's drowning, the girl who's drowning, that woman who is being tugged into the water isn't a vadai sakana. You're only a suffix sakana. Throughout Judaism, vadai, certitude, being sure about something, is a more powerful idea than suffix. So vadai beats suffix. So therefore, that goes Maimini quotes that you are mechuyav. He quotes a Yerushalmi. We don't know where that goes Maimini is. We don't know where Yerushalmi is. But the Beis Yosef quotes all of this, that you're mechuyav to put yourself in the suffix sakana to save somebody from a vaday sakana. That, of course, would be in line with the Ramos psak, that you're allowed to, or you're mechuyav to do bikur cholem. Now, we'll note in a minute that it's not exactly the same. But the Beis Yosef says the reason is vadai beat safek. But then the Sma writes, it's two lines before the end of the Sma, gam ze hishmito hamachaber maram, ubeze yeshlom hakemish haposkim arif ramam rush, vatur lo hevi ubeviskehen, mishum hachi hishmituhu gam kein. Says the Sma, you know what, even though the Beis Yosef quotes this, remember, the Beis Yosef is Rabbi Yosef Karo's book, that is a commentary on the Torah. Not just a commentary, but it is a conglomeration of all the sources that in the Rishonim who deal with the issue that the Torah brings up. That's the Beis Yosef. So in the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Hagos Maimini. But in the Shulchan Aruch, he leaves it out. Says the Sma, the fact that he leaves it out of the Shulchan Aruch indicates that he rejected it. And as a matter of halacha, right, says the Sma, you follow the Shulchan Aruch, you do not follow the Beis Yosef. In my youth, I felt this is absolutely correct, but then as I got older, I began to read introductions to Svarim. And the introduction to the Beis Yosef himself, the introduction to the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, that how come I'm writing this new book, Shulchan Aruch, when I already wrote a book called Beis Yosef? I already have my commentary on the Torah, so how come I have to write a new book? So he says, the reason I need a new book is because I want people to just review all the basic dinim. Once every 60 days, you're supposed to just finish all of Shulchan Aruch, read it through, start to finish, complete the whole thing, once every 60 days. That's the idea. Now that's interesting. No? He's saying that I wrote Shulchan Aruch not to be the real halachic text. I wrote the Shulchan Aruch to be a review. But the real halachic text is the Beis Yosef. So it seems to me that if I take the introduction of the Shulchan Aruch seriously, so the Sma is not correct. Right? The Sma says that Vadai does not beat Suffolk. Right? Because this halacha that Vadai beat Suffolk is omitted from the Shulchan Aruch. And the Sma says that the Shulchan Aruch is the halachic text. But I think if you read the introduction to the Shulchan Aruch itself, you see that the Shulchan Aruch is not the halachic text. You know, one of the weird things now giving the shiur is most of you don't have your videos on, so I have no idea if what I'm saying is resonating with you or not resonating with you. I don't know. I like what I'm saying. Whether you like it or not, I have no way of noticing. But basically what we're up to is as follows. The Rama says that you have to go do Bikur Cholim. You have to go and do Bikur Cholim, even though it's a contagious illness. That would seem to be in line with the fact that Vadai beat Suffolk. The fact that someone is definitely sick overcomes the fact that I might get sick by visiting him or her. This Ma, however, says no. Vadai doesn't beat Suffolk. You're not allowed to enter a Suffolk Sakana. Now, of course, the Beis Yosef's case is not exactly the same as the case that we gave of someone who's drowning, no? Someone who's drowning, that is a full-fledged Suffolk Sakana. Or, I should say, excuse me, someone who's drowning is a full-fledged Vadai Sakana, the person is drowning, and when I jump in, there's a full-fledged Suffolk Sakana. But I could save the person. I'm a lifeguard. I'm not a lifeguard. I know how to swim. I can try to save that person. Bikur Cholim. Is Bikur Cholim really a way to save a person? I don't know. What do you think? Thumbs up, anyone. I think there's a thumbs up thing on Zoom. Does anyone think that Bikur Cholim is a way of saving a person? The Gemara does say that if I'm Mevaker Chola, I take away part of your illness, no? If I'm Ben Gilo, if I'm a person who's very close with you, very similar to you, so when I visit you, I take away part of your illness. That's what the Gemara says. But is that the same type of saving as diving in to save a person? I don't know. Probably not. So the Ramah's psak that you have to do Bikur Cholim, even in a situation where it's a contagious illness, that Ramah's psak is actually very difficult. And the poskim say, actually, someone is saying that I should speak louder. Okay, so this chat is... So, can people hear me now? Can people hear me better now? Anyone? Thumbs? Okay. But the poskim basically...
Yeah, it's good. It's...
Oh, okay, thank you. So, it's very hard to assume that you should be Mevaker Chola if you could really get ill. Certainly what you should do is that you should take precautions. You could put on a hazmat suit so that you won't be affected. You can protect yourself. That certainly is something that a person should do if you want to be Mevaker Chola. But it's not at all simple. It's not at all simple that you should do Bikur Cholim even, right? Because even with all these protections, who says you'll be saved? Now, here's the thing. In our world, who fulfills the mitzvah Bikur Cholim most often? Not answering. How many of you are pre-med? doctors really fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholem. No, we don't think of it this way. But Bikur Cholem is not just that you show up and you visit. The mitzvah of Bikur Cholem really is that you try to make someone healthy. So when I go and I visit you, that's a nice thing to do. But that might not be the full-fledged mitzvah of Bikur Cholem. That might not be the full-fledged mitzvah. The full-fledged mitzvah is probably fulfilled by a doctor. Now, if I'm a doctor, am I allowed to treat someone? By the way, I know a few doctors now. A few doctors who are struggling with coronavirus because they were healing other people. Right? This is what's going on in our world. It's not pashut at all. Am I allowed to do that? I'm looking now, there is a list that YU sent out of 40 frum Jews who have coronavirus. Some of them I know. They got coronavirus by trying to help others. So how do I do that? Is it mutter as a doctor? Is it mutter to treat somebody? So the pashtus is that even if you hold that you're not allowed to enter a suffix sakana to save someone from a vaday sakana, even if you hold like the sma that you're not allowed to do that, but that only applies to the person who wants to do it out of his or her own goodwill. If I have a person who is paid for a job, so that gives me a heter to engage in activities which are ordinarily dangerous that someone wouldn't do. We mentioned earlier that danger is largely defined by what people perceive as being dangerous. Most people would not climb very tall trees on a regular basis. It's dangerous. You could fall off. You could chas v'shalom hurt yourself. Nonetheless, the Gemara in Bava Metzia learns on Pasuk Eilav Hu Noseh Es Nafsho that a person is allowed to earn a parnasa by engaging in activity that's somewhat dangerous. That would mean that l'cha'ora for the doctor who is treating somebody, the doctor's allowed to do it if the doctor's getting paid. That's his parnasa. Meaning, even if you're not taking precautions, and even if it's potentially really, there's a strong possibility that you will contract Ebola, or whatever it is, for the doctor it is permitted. But for a regular person, as Bikur Cholem, it might not be permitted. In this tshuva that I give you, that I'm scrolling through now, in the Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Tess, so Rav Oldenburg has a whole discussion about this, and effectively he says, you know what, maybe what the Ramah means is that contagious diseases are not as dangerous as a situation like someone says, I'm going to hurt you, I will cut off your arm unless you injure somebody else. Those situations are vade sakana. But a contagious disease is not the same level. That is in this paragraph, Dalet, over here. I personally don't understand that concept at all. But it seems as a matter of halacha, a person should not do Bikur Cholem if the person might really get sick. If it's a real suffix sakana to visit somebody, so you don't do it. However, and Chacham Ovadia Yosef in the Chazon Ovadia and the Bikur Cholem, he makes this point, if you can take precautions, so kol hakavod, you fulfill the mitzvah, and you take precautions so that you don't get ill. But nonetheless, there might be another eitzah, another suggestion as to how one should do Bikur Cholem in this situation. And by the way, in our world now, I'm here in Washington Heights. The hospital in the Heights is Columbia Presbyterian. There is ordinarily a very robust Bikur Cholem that goes to the hospital. Right now, the hospital said that anyone who's non-essential is not allowed into the hospital. Non-essential meaning only doctors are allowed in, only doctors are allowed in, etc. But a regular person to do Bikur Cholim is not allowed in. That's considered non-essential according to the hospital. So the question is, the hospital says you can't do Bikur Cholim, but you want to do the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. What can you do? What can you do? What are the suggestions? So Poskim say, ah, I have an idea. Let's do Bikur Cholim over Zoom. I don't. You've ever heard of Zoom? I never used Zoom until coronavirus. Coronavirus, I think, probably brought more business to Zoom than they ever had, and my understanding is actually that Zoom is having difficulty keeping up with all of the traffic. So you can do Bikur Cholim at a distance through Zoom. You can do Bikur Cholim over the telephone. Telephones are a medieval form of Zoom. That's basically what they are. There are ways of connecting without being there in person. And the question is, by doing that, does a person fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? So there are a number of poskim who deal with this question. They go back and forth. Let's start with the cute approach. One of the major sources for Bikur Cholim is this Gemara here in Bava Metzia and Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Tani Rav Yosef. V'hodato lahem es haderech yochuba. That's what the pasuk says. That Yisro tells Moshe Rabbeinu that your job is to teach Klal Yisrael the path that they should take in life. So v'hodato lahem zebeis chayeim. Teach them how to live. Es haderech zu gemilas chasodim. Teach them the path means the path of doing chesed. Yelchu is bikur cholim. Ba is kavura. So I believe it's Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank in his Tshuvas who says, Yelchu is Bikur Cholim. That means that to fulfill Bikur Cholim, you have to go yourself. Yelchu, you've got to go. But just to do it over the phone, just to do it over Zoom, just to do it some other way, that might not be a fulfillment, that might not be a kiyum of Bikur Cholim, because that's not Yelchu. That's Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank's suggestion. I don't know, I thought this is somewhat humorous. I didn't think it particularly makes that much sense. But nonetheless, I do think that there is room to analyze this question based on what is the nature of Bikur Cholim. Okay, Chevro, what do you think is the reason for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? What am I trying to do? So there's a few possibilities. One possibility is that Bikur Cholim is there to show the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is about the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is about making a person better. Now, it could be about making a person better, like we spoke about how the doctor is the real mekayim of Bikur Cholim. But it could be Bikur Cholim is making the person better in the sense of, you know, I think everyone speaks about how a person's psychology has tremendous impact on their health. If you have a positive outlook, you're more likely to come through the illness than if you don't have a positive outlook. So the idea of Bikur Cholim might be that you cheer the person up. You cheer the person up, you make the person happier. That is some kiyum of Bikur Cholim. That certainly is one possibility. You cheer the person up. Another possibility of Bikur Cholim is that the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is there to see that the person's physical needs are taken care of. The Gemara in the Dorim tells us that once upon a time, Rebbe Akiva had a student who is sick, etc. And Rabbi Akiva goes there, and he sees that the student's room is all dirty. So Rabbi Akiva sweeps the floor, he makes it all nicer, and then the person ends up feeling better later on. That's the Bikur Cholim. That's the idea. That's the idea that, But that's the idea that the Gemara tells us in the Darim. So you see from there that Bikur Cholim might mean an opportunity to care for the person physically, not just make the person feel better, but to care for the person physically. That's another possibility of what Bikur Cholim is. There's a third possibility for Bikur Cholim, and if I could get to this screen again, I would... Right? The third possibility of Bikur Cholim is that the mitzvah Bikur Cholim is there to daven for a person. The idea of Bikur Cholim is that what you're trying to do is you're trying to go to the person and daven. So, actually, if you look in the Torah in Siman Shin Lamed Hey, right, the Torah basically tells us that he bases Hilchos Avelos, and he begins with Bikur Cholim, based on the sequence that the Ramban presents in the Sefer Torah HaAdam. And the Ramban writes that if a person is Mevaker Chola, but doesn't daven for the person to get better, so then you do not fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Right? The Ramban quotes like in the fifth line over here. Right? If a person, he quotes this Gemara that we noted, that Rabbi Akiva said that if you are, right, the students of Rabbi Akiva, Sheichabdo v'Rabsulafana, that they made the room nicer. So that's part of Bikur Cholim. But the Ramban writes, I'm just looking for this line exactly, the Ramban writes that a person who does not daven, so that person does not fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim properly. The mitzvah of Bikur Cholim involves tefillah. If you don't daven, you don't get the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So again, so we have three possibilities for Bikur Cholim. Bikur Cholim could be the way we understood it as kids, which is that Bikur Cholim is just to cheer the person up. Bikur Cholim could be this more advanced form of caring for the person, to make the person healthier, but like Rabbi Akiva did for his student. And Bikur Cholim could also be an opportunity to daven for a person. And the Ramban assumes that the ikar of Bikur Cholim is davening. Now, based on these approaches, do you think you fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim over the phone? What would you say, Chevra? What would you say?
I mean, you might help, like, cheer them up, but not so much the, well, physically.
Correct. I think if you visit over the phone, you might cheer them up. Well, thank you so much for calling, but you can't really attend to the physical needs. In terms of davening, does calling on the phone help your davening? You know, we have a principle throughout halacha of eino dome shmiya l'ri'iya. If you see something for real, right? Maybe Zoom is different than a phone in terms of this. But when you see somebody, so then you'll daven with more kavona. You go into the room, you see the person, and the person is mamish ill, is struggling, so you'll daven with more kavona. Over the phone, you can't really tell, right, how sick the person is. Even with Zoom, you might not be able to have a full sense of how bad the person is. If Bikur Cholim is an opportunity to daven, to force us to daven. So then l'cha'ora, through the phone, maybe we're not going to daven as well as we would if we'd be there in person. So maybe it's some sort of kiyum, but maybe it's not as much of a kiyum as it would be, not as much of a kiyum as if you go in person. Because going in person, you'll actually daven more. Going in person, as you noted, you'll be able to notice the physical needs. Maybe you fulfill cheering up, but that's only one out of the three reasons. However, it seems to me, and I noticed that the Minchas Yitzchak has this in the Tshuva, that you might not even cheer the person up when you go to visit. Why not? Why might you not cheer them up? Did you ever get a phone call, and it was actually kind of annoying, you didn't want the phone call? Right? People know what I'm talking about? You get a phone call, and someone, they're disturbing you. You call somebody who's ill. You don't know what you're getting them out of. It could be that you're actually waking them up. And that's not a kiyum of bikacholim, I think. Right? I don't think it's a kiyum of bikacholim if you wake somebody up. So, one could argue that doing bikacholim ayidei the phone might not be the good way of doing bikacholim, and in fact, you might not even cheer the person up. It's taking a very serious risk if you want to do bikacholim that way. Now, Reb Moshe Feinstein over here has a tshuva, where Reb Moshe says that he thinks all of the reasons for Bikur Cholim can be fulfilled ayidei the phone, but it's not as good, right? In the third line, Hinei, right? Poshet lafi anias daiti, sh'av sh'mekayim mitzvah de Bikur Cholim, eino shayach lo mashiyotzi yidei chovaso. You get some sort of mitzvah, but you're not fulfilling the mitzvah completely because you are missing many aspects of the Bikur Cholim. You're missing many aspects of it. You're not going to influence the davening, right? The Ramban is basically, the Moshe Feinstein is basically saying in this area where I am playing with my stylus, the Moshe is saying that you're not fulfilling the mitzvah to the full extent, because ultimately it won't completely help you with your davening. Ultimately, you won't really see what the person needs. You might cheer them up. Moshe doesn't entertain the idea that it will be disturbing, but he's not really convinced that you fulfill the mitzvah. Bichlal afi ani istaiti ein shayach lo mashayikar hu b'shva tefila hakol. Inyan hu choshem mitzad atzmo, kibud v'ribut, that's mentioned in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch, and it's shofech domem if you don't do it, etc. Davening is a mitzvah that you can't do ayidei acherim, the other stuff other people can do. So, Reb Moshe says, may as well do it over the phone, but it's not the full-fledged mitzvah that you would get otherwise. That's what emerges from Reb Moshe. Reb Yitzchak Kuttner, Rav Kuttner was a real character. You know, he was the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin. And in the Sefer Igril Zuksavim of Rav Kuttner, it's on page 56, Rav Kuttner notes that the question as to whether you fulfill the mitzvah Bikur Cholim over the phone depends on how we translate the word Bikur. How do you translate the word Bikur, right? Everyone talks about it. Shifti Beveis Hashem Koyim Echayai. Lachzois b'noam Hashem ulevaker beheichalo. What does the word levaker mean? Anyone? What does the word levaker mean?
To visit.
To visit. Right? The standard, that was Sarah Schatz? You know who said that?
Yeah,
hi. Yashikar, thank you, Sarah Schatz. So the word bikur, the standard explanation is, it means to visit. That's a standard explanation. And that would mean l'cha'ora, that you actually have to visit. However, in halacha, the word bikur has a different meaning also. The word bikur means to investigate. not just to visit, or maybe not to visit at all. It means investigate. There's a halacha by a carbon, right? We know this on my carbon Pesach. That there's a halacha that a carbon requires bikur of gimel yamim. That before you bring a carbon, you have to, right? That's why mishchu kechula chemtzon. Klai Yisrael is told to take a sheep and tie the sheep up to the bed. Why are they doing that? They're doing that because you have to make sure that that sheep doesn't have a mum. And the halacha is that a carbon requires bikur. You have to investigate that carbon. You have to make sure that it is a clean carbon. There's no mumen. That's what you have to do. Now here's the thing. Says Rav Huttner, he thinks that the real translation of bikur is not to visit. If you think bikur means to visit, you're missing out on the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that you have to investigate. And why are you investigating? You're investigating to see what the person really needs. And when you know what the person really needs, either you can provide for that person. You speak to the nurses. You say, hey, okay, what can we do to help the patient in bed 46A? You daven for the person with more kavana. That is bikur. Bikur means investigation. So says Rav Huttner, and I don't fully get this. Rav Huttner writes, if the mitzvah of bikur cholim would mean to visit, so you can't visit over the phone. But if the mitzvah of bikur means to investigate, so you can investigate over the phone. It seems to me that it's exactly the opposite, no? Over the phone, maybe I could visit. Visit in the sense of I'll make you feel good. But over the phone, I can't really investigate. But even over Zoom, I don't think you could really see what's going on with the person. You have to be there. You have to be there in person to really see what's going on. So, what we're discussing is, do you have a mitzvah bikur cholim when someone is contagious? The Ramah has a tshuva. He says, of course you do bikur cholim. We point out that many poskim say if a guy is contagious, if you can't take proper precautionary measures to make sure that you don't get the illness, maybe there's no mitzvah bikur cholim. But maybe still you should do something about connecting to the person, maybe visiting the person over the phone, even though you might not fully fulfill the mitzvah bikur cholim over the phone, but it's something, it's better than nothing. But the fundamental idea that the Ramban gets at, that bikur cholim involves that you're davening for the person, this idea I think is very powerful, especially in light of the Ramban in a famous comment. You know, is the mitzvah of davening, is it d'orais or d'rabbonon? So this, of course, is famous, that the Rambam famously tells me that the mitzvah to daven is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but almost everyone else in Judaism assumes that the mitzvah to daven is a mitzvah d'rabbonon. The Rambam writes that la'avdo b'chol levavchem, that there is a mitzvah of avodah shebelev, and that means tefillah, that you have to daven. Davening is doraisa, the Rambam says. But many disagree with the Rambam, notably the Ramban that we have over here, the Hasugos HaRamban, in this next source, Ukvara ino behuchos tfila, that you have to daven, etc. Right? The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven, but the Ramban disagrees. V'gamze einenu nachon be'enai. This is not correct. It's not correct that davening is a d'oraisa, because the Gemara in Bracha says that benching is d'oraisa, but davening is not d'oraisa. Moreover, if it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, so how often do you have to daven? The Ramban says, right, do you have to do it once a day, three times a day, once a year? Right, Parsha Zachar is d'oraisa. But how often do we do Zachar? We do it once a year. If tefillah is d'oraisa, so the Ramban says, how often Do you have to daven? That's also not clear. Then there's the part I underlined. V'ikar ha-kosov, ula avdo b'chol levavchem, is mitzvah saseh. The Rambam's proof that davening is d'oraisa is from the Gemara in Tainus Daf Beis. The Gemara says, ula avdo b'chol levavchem means tefillah. The Ramban says, no, it doesn't mean tefillah on the level of d'oraisa. Aye, what does ula avdo b'chol levavchem mean? V'ikar ha-kosov, ula avdo b'chol levavchem is mitzvah saseh, shetia kol avodoseinu lakel yisparach b'chol levavenu, the Ramban is saying, the first explanation of the Ramban, usually when we talk about the Ramban, we talk about the second explanation that we'll get to in 2 minutes. But the first explanation of the Ramban is that, you know what la'avdo b'chol levavchem means? Davening, according to Ramban, is completely midrabbanon. La'avdo b'chol levavchem means that you should serve the Ribbono shel Olam out of conviction. You know that it's proper to serve Hashem. Serving Hashem because of a suffik, that's not la'avdo b'chol levavchem. There's this thing called Pascal's wager. Any of you know what Pascal's wager is? Pascal's wager is this interesting thing. The philosopher Blaise Pascal said, you know what, I'm not sure if God exists or not. But if God does exist, and I don't believe in him, I'm really messed over. If God doesn't exist, and I act like God does exist, nothing is lost. So therefore, Pascal's wager is, I may as well serve God as a suffix. Maybe he exists, maybe he doesn't exist. Says the Ramban, no, no, no. La'avdo b'chol levavchem means you have to serve Hashem not as a suffix, right? It's like, v'ahavta Hashem okecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol melodecha. You have to love Hashem, not as a suffix. You have to really love Hashem. Then the Ramban writes a second explanation. Oh. Right? The first explanation of the Ramban is that davening is entirely midrabbonon. The second explanation of the Ramban is, oh, lomar, shemichlal ha'avoda shenoma teira, v'shenispal elav be'ez hatzaros, v'tiena einenuv libino elav levado ke'ene avoda o yaradonehem. The Ramban writes that maybe there's a din to iraisa to daven be'ez hatzaros, when things are difficult. It could be that the mitzvah bikur cholem is such an important mitzvah and you have to daven because it's like an ace tzara. You see somebody is in pain, someone is sick, so you have to daven for them. You feel it. It's an ace tzara. And according to the second explanation of the Ramban, during an ace tzara, when you daven, that tefillah becomes da'iraisa. He quotes a pasuk, "Yitzav al milchama ba'aretzachem, atzaratzareischem," etc. So, right, during ace tzara, tefillah is da'iraisa. Now, Reb Usher Weiss, in his Sefer on Chumash, Reb Usher Weiss thinks that the Ramban does not mean that the tefillah during Bikur Cholam is d'oraisa. That the tzara that the Ramban is speaking about, he quotes the pasuk of Ki Tavo Melchama Ba'artzechem, is a tzara that is on the community. Maybe a single person does not, a single ill person does not generate davening to be d'oraisa according to the Ramban. But certainly in the situation that we have now, when is an ace tzara for so many people, when the entire world is an ace tzara. So certainly now we have an opportunity to daven on the level of d'oraisa, not only according to the Rambam, but even according to the Ramban. So whether there's a mitzvah bikur cholim or not when someone is ill, the pashtus is that if you could take precautions and visit them, you still have a mitzvah bikur cholim. But maybe there's no full-fledged, chiyuv to do so. However, certainly bikur cholam that involves tefillah, involves davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that bikur cholam really should be done. And at this point, where we're not only dealing with individuals who are not well, when we're dealing with not only a community, we're dealing with so many people in so many different communities in so many countries, so this really elevates our tefillah to the level of d'oraisa. And I think what this does is it really forces us to take our davening much more seriously. We mentioned at the beginning that we can't daven with a minyan now. We're banned from doing so by law. And it's dangerous to have large crowds. But we have to use these opportunities when we're davening on our own to recognize that, you know what, we're doing a mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah at this point, according to everybody. According to the Rambam, tefillah is always d'oraisa. But according to the Ramban, davening now is certainly d'oraisa. Or according to the second explanation of the Ramban, davening now is d'oraisa. So we have to daven better. We add those Avinu Malkeinus that we said at the beginning, and that is an opportunity to really fulfill tefillah in a better sort of way. But if I go back to that screenshot that I had, if I want to share that screen again, and I look back at the Ramban inside, there's one line which, if I could find it, there's one line which I, in that Ramban, where, which is really important. The Ramban writes that it's not only tefillah be'ez tzara that's d'oraisa, it's Torah be'ez tzara is also d'oraisa. The Ramban seems to be saying that the Torah that we learn be'ez tzara, that Torah is d'oraisa. Look at that Ramban in the mitzvah asay, hey, the Ramban that I gave you earlier, I put on the screen. Ramban says that learning Torah is also d'oraisa. So we have an opportunity now to learn Torah. And we're learning Torah in a way that we will fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa, that mitzvah d'oraisa of trying to help people, that mitzvah d'oraisa of kisavo milchoma ba'artzachem, the mitzvah d'oraisa of when things are not going well, we have an opportunity to learn Torah and to try through our Torah, through our tefillah, to make things better. So we have to take this seriously. It's a scary time. I hope we're able to use these opportunities to learn to the best of our ability, to dive into the best of our ability, and bizchus our Torah and our tefillah and our tzedakah. We can't forget that tzedakah is tatzil mimaves. We have to give tzedakah. The Chofetz Chaim writes that if a person has an opportunity to give $100 to tzedakah one time, or one, it's like the old lottery, right? That you could take $1 million in one lump sum, or $1 a year for 1,000,000 years. Chofetz Chaim writes that you fulfill more of a mitzvah tzedakah if you give $1 every day. Every day we should give tzedakah. Rav Soloveitchik felt that when you make a mishaberech for a chola, it shouldn't just be ba'avor that we're davening for them. Of course we're davening for them. That's the whole mishaberech. But it has to be the Ba'avor Sha Nosnim Tzedakah. We have to give Tzedakah, right? We have to daven. We have to learn Torah. And hopefully in these Zechuyos, we will be able to overturn this Gezerah of Avinu Malkeinu, Chaser Me'aleinu, Vaykherev, Ra, Dever, etc., Avinu Malkeinu Minah Mageifa Minachal Aseinu, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should take this Mageifa, the terrible plague, this terrible virus, away from us, Bizchus our Torah and our Tefillah. So thank you all for listening, and we should just have abundant brachas, Yashikaya. Thank you very much. I'll stay on for another minute. I'll stay on for another minute if anyone has questions. I'm happy to stay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I see some pictures. Okay, excellent. Thank you for coming, Chevra. I appreciate it. Oh, okay, people sending on the chat. Thank you. So, good.
Are you able to share the Ramban one more time?
Yeah, let me try to do that. The thing is, I'm not like so good at this.
I could take a picture with my phone. I just wanted to get it one more time.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Share. Where? I had it over here. One second. No, that's not it. Oh, here it is. No, one second. Let me, yeah, I'll find it like this. Okay, and now I can, do you see it or it's not shared?
Doesn't look like it's shared.
Okay, let me
no problem if it doesn't.
I remember. No, I'm gonna figure this out. One second. I'm just not so good at doing this. No, it's the wrong one. Okay. Okay, now is it shared?
No.
No? Still not?
Yeah, but don't worry. No worries, really. No worries.
Okay, no, I really
appreciate it.
Do you mind sending me an email and I'll share it with you that way?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
My email is schwart5@yu.edu. Right,
perfect.
Schwartz without a Z and the number 5 at YU, or you could send it to Rabbi Ezra Schwartz at Gmail.
Perfect. Thank
okay,
you so
Emily
much.
Okay, I'll send it to you later tonight. Okay, thank you for listening.
Thank
Kol
you.
Tov. Take
thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
For Schwartz?
Yes?
So, I have a question.
Sure.
I was wondering if when, like, so a lot of what you talked about is visiting someone who's a chole, as in the person who is sick, has the contagious disease.
Right.
I was wondering if, like, we've thought about, like, the, as in, like, if sources discussed also, like, the idea of, like, let's say visiting someone who is, does not have a contagious disease, like, just someone who's, like, an elderly person, like, with a suffix of the person visiting having a contagious disease. Like, for example, like,
yeah.
Anyone who's young, like, my age, has, like, is around this world, like, you do a concept, like, symptom showings, like, it's not even sure if, like, symptoms will show. It's like, oh, within 14 days, but it's not even sure if that's, like, actually possible to happen because, like, the difference of, like, immune systems. So, like, let's say if I wanted to visit someone who's, like, elderly, is there, like, is that still recommended? Is that, like, recommended
so
again?
I think it's definitely not recommended. You should know I have not gone to see my parents since this thing began. It is... I don't think someone... You should visit, like, through Skype, through Zoom. But to potentially create a sakana for them, I think, is a really poor idea. Right. I don't know why someone... I can't think of a reason to do that. I can't think of a reason... To what's it called? To visit someone when they're mamish not well, and or they could potentially chas v'shalom get really sick. I don't think that's a good idea.
Thank you.
Sure, no problem. Okay, thank you for coming. Okay,
Chavra,
I think we're gonna log off now. How do I end this meeting? I'll figure this out. Okay.